The following is a presentation of Peoria Nazarene Church. We are a church that seeks to make, mature, and multiply followers of Jesus Christ among all people. For more information about Peoria Nazarene Church, visit peorianazarene.church.
All righty, we're going to make sure our mics are working here, but it's good to see you again today, and I am so excited for this morning, our conversation, and just want to set that up a little bit before I let Pastor Marty introduce himself to you for those who do not know him yet. I am just so excited for that. But let me just bring you up to speed on where we've been as a church family. The last week we started the series on becoming a Christ-centered community. And we really believe that God is calling us as a church to be a Christ-centered community of believers. And really, in order for us to be that, our DNA needs to be Christ-centered relationships. I just want to share a scripture with you. Don't want to scare you, I want to share a scripture. 1 John 2:7-8, John says this, the apostle. He says, "Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the very beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining." That's the word of the Lord. Can we say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
The defining characteristic of authentic Christianity must be the love of God. It's His love first for us that we receive when we trust in Christ and we come to understand personally He loves us, and then we love Him. And by His grace and His love in us, we are called to love one another. And that is the defining characteristic of authentic Christianity and authentic Christian community. Yet, we are living in a world that is exceedingly broken. Families and friendships are being torn apart. Friendships are being abandoned over differences of culture, experience, opinions, and so many more things. And this is the world we live in, but church, we are not of this world. Amen. We are in this world, but we belong to Jesus. Amen. And we can't be different on our own, but by what Jesus has done for us, we can be. We can be different than this world. And the good news that Pastor Marty and I want to share with you today through this dialogue is that Jesus enables us to have Christ-centered relationships that bless our lives. Amen. And also are a blessing to others. So I'm honored to have my friend, Pastor Marty Johnson, with me today on his birthday. So he is here early. So I'm not a fan of being embarrassed by having us sing happy birthday, but on three, let's just say happy birthday. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday.
Thank you all.
Thank you for joining us on your birthday. We want this conversation we're going to have this morning to be informal, but also inspirational. And our hope and prayer is that Christ would receive all the glory and that your focus wouldn't be on us, but on what Jesus can do for all of us in forming Christ-centered relationships. We don't share the same background, culture, and experiences, but we are an example of a relationship that should not exist, but is possible because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys know my story, so I'm not going to share that. But I want to give Pastor Marty an opportunity if you want to introduce yourself and maybe share a little bit of your story with your friends here at Peoria Nazarene.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. I'm grateful to be here today. And as I look around, I see so many familiar faces. Josh, wow. just a blessing just to be here in the house on today and just to share a little bit about myself as we get into it. As I said, don't want to make this about ourselves, but to just sort of give you an introduction for those of you who don't know who I am. Pastor Martin Johnson, the New Beginnings Ministries of Peoria, we're located on the north end of town, which was a church plant. And so we've been pastoring there for the last 17 years. I have a wonderful wife. Actually, next Saturday, we will celebrate our 34-year anniversary. So today I turned 54, and next Saturday, 34 years with the love of my life. And also a little bit about myself. I've also served in the military, a retired veteran of 30 years. And kind of in the context of, I guess, our conversation and kind of even in the environment that we're in the space that God has me, I'm a Peoria-born native, grew up in Taft Homes, a family of 10. So I've got two sets of twins in our family. I actually have a twin sister, so I never forget her birthday. And so we grew up in Taft Homes, and then from there, we moved to the south side about a block down from Manuel. So accustomed to poverty, but the blessing that I had was that I came from a Christian family, even in the midst of the challenges that kept me kind of grounded in some of the temptations that I faced. It pointed me in the right direction. And now being back in the city, I serve on various boards and committees, police chaplain, also chaplain for the Department of Corrections with the Peoria Adult Transition Center. And God has really sort of kind of birthed a passion within me, even in the season as we talk about racial injustices and not looking at it from a lens of culture, but looking at it from the lens of Christ. And I think as we opened up, and I'll kind of share kind of my journey and how God has allowed me to experience some things as a person of color, but not demonizing other folks on the other side because they don't look like me or they don't have the same experience, but realizing the transforming power of Christ in our lives that allows us, even in difficult moments that we face as a nation, for us to really be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, and to be able to appreciate and recognize the diversity that God has created in his wonderful creation. And so that's a little bit about the introduction. I'll sort of allow Pastor Mark here to sort of kind of unpack the conversation, but just a little bit about who I am.
Yeah. Pastor Martin and I met, would have been 3 years ago, October 2017, at a breakfast, pastoral appreciation mm-hmm. in Peoria Christian School. And so we met in that occasion, and really, you almost could say it was an accidental meeting, but it wasn't an accidental right. meeting. And I remember sitting there, and actually through a lay member of New Beginnings was working for Peoria Christian, and he was sharing with me about his church and this small church and this pastor and the love for Jesus. And it's not a very large church, but deeply committed to the community. And I just felt the nudging of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, leading me to reach out to Pastor Marty. And just for a cup of coffee, no agenda, not even sure where God's leading. And he kindly agreed to do that. And I'll never forget that first conversation I had with Pastor Marty in his office. Mm-hmm. It was a lengthy conversation and just opening my heart and trying to hear his story and the presence of Jesus as we talked. And what amazed me is his humility in sharing his story and his background, and yet the love of Jesus. There wasn't bitterness, there was love. And I could see the love of Jesus in him. So I just want to ask you, Pastor Marty, I think it's important for us to hear. I had only heard about many of the situations going on in our culture, injustices, racism, other things that are affecting not just our country, but even the city we live in here in Peoria. I had only heard about those from a distance. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, I didn't have a friend from somebody from the other side of some of these experiences and cultures that are vastly different than what I experienced. So I just want to ask you to share with the congregation what you shared with me about how racism impacted you and your family, and how Jesus made it possible for you not only to have a conversation with me, but to extend the love of Jesus to me in such a generous way.
Sure. I believe the first time that I was introduced to racism or even had an understanding of what racism is was my junior year of high school, and it was there at Manuel High School. And if anyone knows, in that area, it's pretty much a 50-50 mix. So in that aspect, in the 80s, as I date myself, since you already know my birthday, so I can unpack the story fully. But this would have been—
By the way, I was born in 1984. Okay. Keep going. Sorry. I didn't, yeah.
Beat a man when he's down. Beat a man when he's down.
Go ahead.
So it was somewhere in the 80s. But I had a friend. I was dating a white girl at that particular time, and in that time, it wasn't common for interracial relationships. And so, in that, as I was dating her, my high school counselor called me out of class, and so it wasn't to talk about, you know, how I was doing in my studies or anything of that nature. The counselor sort of informed me he was friends with the parents of the girlfriend that I was dating, and he was like, basically, we don't do this, and that you all need to break it up, is what I was told. So my mom was a Christian. My dad wasn't a Christian. And so at 16 years old, trying to really kind of figure out who I am and, you know, stepping into manhood, as I thought, and just trying to navigate that particular space, I went home and I had conversation with my mom. And I was like, I said, you know, my counselor said this, and what's your thought? And so my mom told me, she was like, if she loves you and you love her, that's all that matters. Don't worry about the world's foolishness. And so, you know, amen. So then I talked to my dad, and I respected and revered the both of them. And I talked to my dad, and he had a different story. And my dad said, don't trust white people. They don't mean you any good. It's not going to be good. And you know, short words, basically, if you bring her into this house, basically that I was disowning him as my father. And so as a 16-year-old, you know, I'm trying to figure out, okay, why the disparity and why the differences and everything. I wind up going down to Mississippi, where my family is from, and spoke with some of my dad's relatives, and they began to share with me as they were growing up as children and as my dad was growing up and some of the evil things that happened to them just because of their skin color, and how sheriff deputies were able to come within their property, come in their house and do whatever they wanted to do with property and people. And so in that aspect, my dad had formed his conviction based off of his experience. Now my mom was saved. She was walking with the Lord. So from day one since I was born, she was a believer. She was a Christian. So all I saw was the end result of what a life looks like in walking with Christ. But with my dad, I went away to the military. I came home, and I saw him engaged in relationship with people that don't look like him, hugging and embracing. It was like, who is this man? Because this isn't the same individual who was telling me, don't interact with white people, and here it is. You know, he's embracing white people, having good, healthy, wholesome conversation. But the difference was that when I came back from the military, he had gave his life to Christ. Amen. And so in that, what I saw, and as he and I had conversation as a father's son and, you know, trying to unpack things, and he was sharing with me, I was trying to protect you from what I had to go through that you wouldn't have to experience when I was making the comments that I did. And then I was also trying to prepare you for the reality that you're going to face as a person of color, as a black person in the world that we live in today. So even though it was kind of cruel in the moment of what he said, I understood his thinking because of what he experienced and his effort to protect me as his son. And so what I took away from that, and kind of where I say God now has me in this space to really experience what a Christ-centered relationship looks like. With my mom, I saw what a life looks like transform. But with my dad, he used to cuss, smoke, drink, I mean, all of it. But then when he surrendered his life to Christ, I saw what a converted life looks like on its way to transformation. And so now, in the time that I'm in and the different conversations in the different rooms, I'm privileged and humbled to be in, you know, some of the political offices and different task force and speaking to some of the issues of the racial differences within our community. I'm in that room as a person of color, but most importantly, I'm in that room because of the Jesus in me to be a kingdom ambassador. And as we navigate our culture, being able to look at our culture through the lens of Christianity and not the opposite way around of looking through our Christianity through the lens of our culture, whether white or black. So with that, in one of the conversations I'll share, there's a group of my colleagues, and it was a very tense moment right after the George Floyd situation. And so within the African-American community, it was a sensitive moment, and I was outraged, and I had my days of emotion, and was thankful for my relationship with Christ that keeps me grounded, that I can experience things from my culture, but not lose my Christianity through the things that I experience in culture. And I was in a conversation with some of my colleagues, and because of the hurt and the pain of the injustices, they were speaking from a place of pain. And I had to remind them that, I said, where we're at, yes, I'm upset just as well as each and every one of you as leaders in our community. I said, and I know we're rehearsing what we've seen, unfortunately, in the fabric of our society. I was like, I said, my dad experienced this firsthand, my aunts and my uncles. I said, not from a history book, not from a television movie. I said, they experienced it. I said, but what keeps me grounded in this moment where I'm angry and upset, just like all of us, I said, is that when I look at the life of my father and to see an individual who actually personally experienced the injustices, but then to see when he surrendered his life to Christ and how Christ allowed him to begin the healing process of not dismissing what happened, but being able to acknowledge what happened, but to realize that the cross is bigger than our culture and able to heal us. And so that keeps me grounded, that when I'm pulled into conversations and, you know, they'll say, you know, so you're not black anymore. You know, that's the reality that, you know, that I face. And so I could easily, you know, swing and say, okay, yes, I'm gonna stay on this side. It's like, I am black, but most importantly, I'm on the Lord's side. And when I see what my dad went through and see how that changed his life, how dare I try to pick this up and say, I'm doing this for my dad, when he laid it down at the cross and allowed the Lord to heal him. So he becomes my example and my motivation and inspiration, not just to speak, you know, to the people who don't look like me, but also to take that same message to people who look like me, who are hurting and who needs to be healed.
Thank you, Pastor Marty. I'll just never forget that conversation and what you've just modeled for us, and even both acknowledging the realities of the problems that still do exist. Mm-hmm. But Christ and the difference Jesus makes. I became very aware in that meeting quickly how we share the Lord Jesus in common. There was a kindred spirit. It was just like, I had no knowledge of any positions you have, places God's put you of influence in our city. And in that dialogue, I was both moved by how, although we share Jesus in common, my family story and your family story and what you experience, there's different experiences that right. do need to be acknowledged. Yet Jesus makes it possible for us to have this connection. And what we want to do, Marty and I chuckled because we've been praying about this for a long time. We've been working on this, and as pastors do, those meetings went from minutes to hours, We really developed, we tried to discern what are the characteristics of our relationship that we believe the Lord has blessed us with that are really from Him. It's not about us, but that He's made possible. So we identified really an acrostic, which is a way for, just as we kind of wrote this out on the board, and we're going to walk through that. We want to share this with you. We may not get through it all. I'm going to be honest. We've talked about this. Pastors are notorious for this. Sometimes we have a hard time landing the plane at the end, right? And we're going to be sharing at New Beginnings Ministries at 11, so you won't be late for lunch. But we want to share about this, and it's
I will be.
Yeah, there you go. That's true. Yeah, I will be too then. The acrostic that we're sharing is Christ, and we believe these are some characteristics of the Christ-centered relationship that God has made possible for us, but we also believe is possible with you. And the first, the C, stands for Christ is the foundation. You know, in the forming of our friendship, we weren't trying to make anything happen. It wasn't a means to an end. It wasn't so that I could connect with Pastor Marty to have him come speak, or he was connecting with me for any other reason. It was Jesus. And we weren't trying to force this, but we had this common ground in Christ. And I just want to ask you, Pastor Marty, from your perspective, how were you able to see the mutual love we have for Christ shape and strengthen our friendship, and Christ being the foundation make that possible?
When I first saw you, and for anyone, I mean, I look to see how their relationship is with the Lord. And so when you and I, when we first connected, the kindred spirit was, I saw the love that you had for God. And so that was the common denominator. So, I mean, you and I are different colors. And I don't say, like, you know, I don't see colors. I see color because God has created the diversity. So I acknowledge the value that you bring. But I see something greater than the external, which was internal. So in our initial relationship, it was the Christ in you that was speaking, that connected. You know, we joked and we said it was like Mary and Elizabeth when the baby leaped. You know, I know it's kind of like a crazy analogy to use, but it was like something just connected spiritually. And through that, as we began to journey, when I saw the love that you had for Christ and the love that I have for Christ, it allowed me and allowed you also to be able to listen and learn from one another in a time where now it's like, if you don't say what I want you to say, we cancel you out, or, you know, all that. It's like just really the importance and the simplicity of Christ being at the center of your heart, that I believe that we're able to see who's on the Lord's side, not putting specific groups to say, you know, but if his spirit is in you, I believe you can't keep it quiet, that people are going to see it. And so when I saw you for the first time and we interacted, before I got to know anything else, you know, the hunting and all of that, it was like, that was the thing that I loved. And it was like, I want to know more. And I value the relationship. And so that's why I would say, in the Christ-centered relationship of Christ really being the foundation, it wasn't, I'm going out looking for a friend, or I want a white friend, or it wasn't any of that. It was just my love for God. And then to see another believer that had the same love, there was an automatic connection in the midst of our differences, that now if we were willing to listen to one another, we were going to be better because of it. And so that's, you know, in Christ being the foundation, the value that it brings. He, you know, your pastor will often say, you know, I have so much to learn from you. It's like, I'm learning from you. It's not, you know, it's, we have to value one another, that I'm not at this level and you're at this level because of your experience or color or anything, but that God has created us uniquely and put gifts and talents the way that we need one another. And so when I have that love for Christ and realize in his presence, I'm nothing without him, and that I'm just a small fraction of the body. So it's like, Lord, I love you. And then when he allows me to see someone else that has that same love, it's like, this is my brother. Even before we get to year two, year three, this is my brother, and I'm willing to learn and grow. And that's what I'm thankful and appreciative of our, the relationship.
Amen. Amen. So important that Christ is the foundation, and part of that is, without God changing our hearts, these kind of relationships aren't possible in the world. And that really is the second part of our acrostic here, that as we identify that, is it's not like we pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, you know, we're these two really great people. Mm-hmm. No, we are sinners apart from God's grace. We're capable of horrible evil. We're capable of contributing to the problems of the world, but Jesus has saved us. He's changed us. He's become our Lord, our Savior, and he, by his Spirit in us, has changed our hearts. And that really makes the foundation where, when the heart changes, it's not about pride. There's a humble heart. There's a soft heart. there's a willingness to come under each other, and a mutual willingness to listen, to take the posture of a servant. And I want to ask you, Pastor Marty, could you share with us from our journey why it is so important for us to surrender our hearts fully to Jesus Christ so that he can transform us to value and love people? And why is this so important for us to develop a Christ-centered relationship with someone we know, especially someone from a different culture or experience than ours?
Well, I'll go back to the last couple of comments. I think it's important because when we have a surrender heart, it allows us to listen and to learn. And I believe now is, you know, we've come to a point the way that we think we know it all and no one can tell us anything different. And when your heart is surrendered, there's a sense of humility that, God, I don't know everything. I know some things, but I don't know everything, and I'm willing to allow you to use me for your glory, allow me to be humbled, the way that I can learn and grow. I mean, when I look at, I mean, my dad, my mom, I mean, we honored her because she was the matriarch and just the example, the epitome of Christianity from ever since I was knee high. And so I had that expectation that mom's always gonna do the right thing. But it was like growing up and seeing my dad was on the other spectrum, but then to see how Christ changed his heart and me knowing who he used to be and to see the reality of just a changed life and, you know, loving people, it was like that was a pliable heart. And so it's like, so it's in relationships, if anybody's married here, you know, you have to be humbled. But it allows you to learn. Like I was sharing with my when I do premarital counseling and speaking to the importance of even reaching out across the aisle to different cultures and so forth with a surrender heart. But I share with couples in premarital, I said, marriage is two imperfect people coming together to be one. And I said, so with that reality, I said, you got your way of doing things, you have your way of doing things, but we say we love one another. And so in that, I want you to see my way, and she wants me to see her way, conflict. And most of the times we take flight and we run from it. What if we realize if my initial intent, if I love this individual and I want to grow with this individual, then I'm going to have to learn some things about this individual so the conflict necessarily isn't negative. The conflict is communicating that we have our differences, and I want you to be able to understand my differences, and the other one's saying, I want you to understand my differences. So if we go into that knowing that, then on the end, we realize, you know, there's gonna be a lesson and we're gonna be better because, and we don't run from it. So the same thing when we look at culture, I've been in the room of about 100 pastors here within the city as we were talking. This is probably about 3 years ago when Ferguson went kicked off, and we were saying we didn't want what happened to Ferguson to play in Peoria. So myself and probably about four other African-American pastors, we went into prayer, and the mayor had called us to say, let's have a unity service. And so after we came out of prayer, we said, Mayor, all due respect, we would love to do a unity service, but the reality is, as pastors, we're not in a place to be able to call a people to a place of unity when we're not at unity. And so one, we have to repent before God and we have to apologize to you as the mayor and asking for the faith-based community to come speak to this problem. And we acknowledge that we're not in the position where we're supposed to be. So in this room of, you know, four other African-American pastors, we called, we was like, this isn't just a black thing, this is a church thing. So we have to reach across denominational lines, cultural lines, as pastors, and have this uncomfortable conversation. And in that uncomfortable conversation, there were things as we shared from our culture, then the other side shared the unknown and just the desire they wanted to do. They wanted to do some things, but they didn't want their good to be evil spoken, so they were like, let me just stay back in the cut and I'll just pray. And so there was a mutual understanding that there's a responsibility on both sides when we face it, you know, together with a surrendered heart. And, you know, we said, you know, there's pastors, you got your PhDs and doctorate ministries and all. It was like, we got to check all that at the door. And we're all equal at the foot of the cross. And so when we surrender our hearts, he said, that's when God's going to speak to us. God's going to give us direction and how we now do it, not according to my way, my denomination, my culture, but do it the way that he has instructed in his word.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Marty. There's a surrendered heart is a heart that is full of the love of God and is secure in the love of God and able to be real, vulnerable. Romans 12:9 says, don't pretend to love each other, really, really love each other. Right. And Romans, also Paul says in Romans, we're, you know, to the strong are to become weak. And so I want to talk just a bit about that. This is something Pastor Marty and I have talked about, is authenticity. Because of the love of Jesus, there's been this safety between the two of us that I can trip over myself at times because I don't know what to say. And I've said to Pastor Marty, I said, I got a question. I said, I don't even know how to say this. I may come across as an idiot, and I would say that to him. He's chuckling because he knows it's true. But even in these moments of navigating the issues of our day, especially sensitive situations, so many times I think what keeps us in our own comfort zones in our own cultures is because there's this, you know, it's hard to be real. Mm-hmm. And so could you talk just a little bit about how authenticity and that genuineness has shaped our friendship, and how can you help us see the value of that for pursuing relationships that are Christ-centered?
Well, I look at it, I try my best to be real, genuine, and authentic. And what governs me through that is Christ loves me, flaws and all. And so with that and going to any relationship, I'm not trying to prove that I'm this, and I'm not trying to win affirmation. Neither should you, because if his blood has redeemed us, washed us, he's already affirmed us that we are sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. And so with that, that also keeps me in a humble posture. As it's been stated, we have different high-profile meetings within the city, and that will consist of, you know, whether the mayor's there, the police chief, the state's attorney, whatever the case may be. And if there's some things that are very passionate to me or that really, you know, pulls at my heart, they know Pastor Johnson will cry in a high-profile meeting. And I'm not crying, you know, just going through emotional ups and downs. But if there's something that really pulls at my heart as a believer in Christ, and we're arguing or bickering, and this is my way of communicating, I don't feel less of a man in that room because I know who I am in Christ. And I know that he has ordered my steps, and that I'm only in the room because he has favored me to be in the room, even though a man or a woman may have invited me in the room. God has ordered my step in the room. So there's not a cockiness, but a confidence that keeps me humble. And so when I realize he loves me, flaws and all, and when you realize, and all of us realize he loves us, flaws and all, he didn't save us when we were perfect. Yeah. He died for us while we were yet in our sins. That yeah. speaks of his love for us. And so if he loved me then, and now that I'm redeemed and I'm now, and I'm striving for perfection and trying to do everything that he's called me to do, and sometimes I may come short or just feel inadequate being in the room of, you know, people that it's like, wow, you got this and that, and little old me. It's like, no, I can acknowledge that, but I realize the greater one lives in me. And so it allows me to be real with myself. The young people within our church say, don't fake the funk, Pastor. And in that statement, what they're saying is just be real. Just be genuine. And in that inner relationship, and I know sometimes it's difficult because we may have been disappointed, or we may have been hurt or offended, or we think individuals may take advantage of us, so we put our guards up and we really don't appreciate being who we are. In all of my relationships, what people will tell me is, Pastor Johnson, what I love about you is that you're genuine. I said, what do you mean by that statement? It was like, you're real. If you are unsure about something, or you don't know how we're going to get something done, and you're leading or you're chairing this, you'll say that. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. It was like, we can appreciate that because that's honesty. And so I would encourage, even as in a Christ-centered relationship, I know from our experiences, we don't want to make ourselves vulnerable because we don't want individuals to exploit us in a time of weakness. And that's the importance of when we're connecting with individuals who have a Christ at the center, and Jesus loves us, he teaches us how to come out of those particular moments where we're vulnerable and be real so that we can be healed or be able to receive information that we didn't have that's going to enable us to be able to move to the next step in life.
Yeah. We've got about 10 more minutes before we're going to hit the road, but so we're good. But we're halfway through. That's a good sign, right? We're doing well. The I and the acrostic, one of the things we talked about was being intentional. Intentional on being organic is so important for Christ-centered relationships to formulate. They can't, and to grow, especially across cultures, across divides in our world. We got to be careful that we don't pursue a relationship with an agenda. And I think this is so, so very important. We know Proverbs 3 says this, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. So we're not even approaching relationships with a desire to even trust our own understanding, but instead to rely fully on the Lord and let him lead us, direct our path. One thing we talk about in our friendship is we didn't force it, we didn't manufacture it, and we weren't in a hurry to take it somewhere. We weren't pursuing an end. We were valuing the relationship because we're created for relationship. The relationship isn't the mean to some ends. The end goal for God in our lives is first relationship with him, then with each other. So I wanted to ask you a question that you could comment on. How can good intentions in getting ahead of God harm relationships, especially when we're trying to pursue a relationship from a different background, like our relationship, from different experiences? How can that harm? And I think that can help us learn the importance of being organic.
Well, it communicates the actual agenda of a heart when there's like a end motive, let's do this, let's do this, this. It's like, okay, do you want relationship or do you want a product? And I share this from, I've had conversations with many white pastors who come and say, hey, you all are in the inner city, you do a lot of outreach. We want to do this, with your ministry. And so I just kind of, candidly asked them, I said, so is this what God is saying? Or is this what you all desire to do? And he's like, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I said, because if this is what God is calling you to do, I said, then I believe God is relational. And this isn't about, can I get a quick return on investment in the next amount of time so I can report back to my missions board and say, this is what we've done. And I said, so I want you to know. And I said, I don't say this to be arrogant or anything, but if this is where God is directing you, I want to be able to enlighten you so you can continue the journey with God in this direction and not allow your good to be evil spoken when you come into our community. And I said, so with that, I was like, it means that you may invest and you may not reap your harvest right now. And I said, but if you're looking for a harvest or you're looking to report back to a board and say, look what we did, this, then you might be disappointed. And I said, Jesus is relational, and our ministry is relational. And and what's going to happen is, for those other ministries who the Lord is burdened and say, hey, we feel God calling us into the African-American community or inner city, urban community, there's going to be a barrier put up, because we're going to be, okay, are you looking at us as a project, or are you looking at us that you want to partner in ministry? And so now individuals like I say, who have that, they want to do it, that becomes now on this side of the fence how people of color may view other fellow believers with good intentions. I said, so that's why I share that with them in that conversation.
Yeah. We're going to take these last two together. We're going to share a little personal stories here to kind of wrap things up. But the last two of the acrostic are small steps of obedience, and they really do go together. And then transformational, not transactional. And one of the things we talk about in organically and in allowing God to develop a relationship that truly is Christ-centered is it begins with really small steps of obedience. I think this is so significant. So many times our hearts are prone to where we only want to invest in a relationship if we know there's a return on the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so we're all so busy. We all have our lives, our cultures, and it's too easy at times for us to say, hey, I'm going to invest in this friendship because I'm going to get something out of it. But Christ-centered relationships commit to really small steps that we don't even see where they're going necessarily.
Right.
And it's kind of like we were talking like a snowball. You know, when you first start making a snowman, I know some of you are going to hate me from talking about snow in November, but it's coming. But when you start, it's really hard to get that snowball started, isn't it? But then when it gets bigger, pretty soon you're rolling this massive, and then you're building this huge snowman. And the reality is so many times we fail to develop Christ-centered relationships because we aren't willing to take small step of obedience, very small steps of obedience when nobody's looking, that seem to be getting us no recognition. Pastor Marty and I have talked about the dangers of social media is good, but it's like I only want to invest in it if it's a moment I can capture and share. And so I think in our organic relationship of wanting to honor in Christ, there hasn't really been a lot of posts. There's been none really. We're 3 years in, and this is the first conversation we're having together. But our desire is that there would be a transformational relationship. The world says I value a relationship because of what I get out of it. A transformational relationship is rooted in the grace of God, and it's valued because God values these kind of relationships. So what I want to do is we land the plane, circle the airport here in the last few moments we have together. I want to talk a little bit about how our relationship has formed transformationally, not transactionally, and then the ripple effect. There's been a real ripple effect that's taken place. I know one of the experiences I've shared is in 2019, 2 years into our friendship, you guys know you walked with me through the loss of my father. From March all the way through May of 2019, my dad suffered terribly. And I remember so many moments of sitting at the Smoking Pit with Pastor Marty, best restaurant in town, by the way, and sharing. His twin sister and brother-in-law are the owners there, so shameless plug. But I remember sharing with Pastor Marty, then I remember him sharing a recent loss in his family that he had gone through. And there was this kindred spirit, this love of Jesus. There was this transformational relationship that we didn't even know where it was going, but yet over time, little by little, I've seen that overflow into the lives of so many people. When my dad was suffering in the hospital, Barb Miller, some of you know Barb Miller, who volunteered at New Beginnings. Barb Miller is a wonderful church person at New Beginnings Ministries, godly lady. Again, somebody that I would have nothing in common with at all, except for the grace of Jesus. I'll never forget her when my dad was, probably 3 or 4 weeks in the hospital, suffering terribly. And she texts me and she says, Pastor Mark, I feel like the Lord is leading me to say, I think God wants you to read Psalm 91 to your father. I'm praying every day. I just have this burden on my heart. She had no idea. Psalm 91 is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. I'm sitting in that dark room of suffering and I open the word and my father takes the Bible and he puts it upon his chest and hugs the Bible with tears because he knows Jesus loves him. And that's just one example of the ripple effects of one Christ-centered relationship. Did I know that God was leading that way? No. But those small steps of obedience create so much wonderful opportunity. So I want to give you a chance. I know we could talk for hours, and this is the beginning of a conversation. But Pastor Marty, to share anything along those lines of the small steps that led to this transformational relationship.
Yeah, I think it's important that, as it's been stated, that When we look at relationships, it's not from a transaction, I'm just doing this. But the transformation that takes place, as Pastor Mark was talking about, you know, with the Barb Millers, you know, I'm looking on the front row here and seeing the Stricklers, John, Marilyn, Josh, Aaron, Pat, Corinne, Peter, Paul, so many others. You know, the thing that transformed me, and I was like, I knew this was a God thing as far as our relationship, was as he stated, as when he was going through his father transition to glory, and he was still committed. He was like, I'm still going on the missions trip. It's like, no, you're not. It's like, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. It's like, you know, you need to be with your family. You need to do what you need to do. And I was like, you know, I got this. But I heard his heart in that aspect of, here was a difficult moment that he was going through, but because of the Christ-centered relationship, the connection, it was like, okay, God, I know I need to be here, but I know I need to be here too. And then for us to have the relationship is like, you know, in the respect that he had for me is like, you bet not come. You know, it's like that was, but it communicated, one, that, okay, here it is. This is my introduction to Pure Nazarene. I was, you know, I have the pleasure now of the names that I mentioned and so many others because of this relationship that, you know, Christ put the way now. It's not just restricted to Pastor Mark, but now I have more brothers and sisters in Christ. Me and John were going out a couple of times for a lunch and got a USDA burger. But I say all that to say, when I went to Ecuador, what it spoke to me in the transformation was that even through our conversation, he trusted me as his friend to be able to pastor you all. And I never had known anyone from Pure Nazarene, and we were, you know, conversing back and forth with Marco Polo. But from another pastor to another pastor, when you have a shepherd's heart and you care for your flock, that's not something lightly to be taken, that, you know, my members are going to go overseas and I'm not with them, but another pastor is with them. That really doesn't set well if there's not a connection of trust. And so that was the one of the, you know, the transformation moments that I knew this was a God thing and that God was in it. And that as we continue to walk out, it's not, let's just do this and let's just do that. It's like, God, we want you to be glorified. We want others to experience the wholesome and the healthiness of a Christ-centered relationship and what we've experienced. So don't allow us to be moved in this direction or trying to do this and that. To say, oh, look what Pure Nazarene and New Beginnings Ministries are doing. God, we want your kingdom glorified. Amen. So use us. Amen. For your glory, use us for your honor, that we're not the only recipients of what you have purchased for us at Calvary.
Amen. This is all possible, not because of us, but because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us in taking our sins, and not just our sins, but the sins of the whole world on himself. And if we'll surrender our hearts to him, if we'll trust in him, and, you know, if we'll make him the foundation of our lives, of everything we do, Christ is the foundation. If we'll allow his spirit to change our hearts, and as he does, if we'll open ourselves, not in strength, but in weakness and vulnerability, to reach across cultural divides, racial divides. You know why that? I think that's so important. Kingdom of heaven. Think about the throne. Think about Christ. Think about what's coming. We're going to all worship together in one voice. Together,
right.
The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and our desire is that our relationships on earth will look like they're going to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it's so possible because of the grace of God, is we stay in step with the Spirit, we're intentional on being organic, we take those small steps of obedience as he leads. And even when we can't see where it's going, and even when we think it may not be worth it or we have fear, but we take small steps of obedience and then we experience a transformational relationship, not a transactional relationship. This is what is possible. This is what we want to share with you. And what we want to ask you as we close, what Christ-centered relationship is God calling you to? One of the things we've talked about, Pastor Marty said, who's the Mark in your life? And I would say, who's the Marty in your life? What person is God calling you to develop a relationship, not as a means to an end, but because of the love of Jesus really that's in you? We want to challenge you. There's so much blessing. We can't share the story because we're out of time. I'll put the picture up. And part two, we'll have the story sometime. This is one of those blessings. Yes, I left the deer off of it for those of you who might be offended that he killed Bambi. He did. He killed Bambi, I'm just going to say.
But he told me to.
I told him to. But this is a tremendous moment that we got to share the together, one of those joys of relationship. And we're thankful for that. So I want to leave you with this verse. This is John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And we thank Jesus that this is possible. We're going to close in prayer, and he and I are going to hit the road, and then we're going to close with a song. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love today. I thank you for my friend, Pastor Marty. It's been our joy to share together. And what we share is really from our hearts. These are truths that we hold dearly. Father, we ask that we just want to say, may it be so. May the name of Christ be honored. May you help us as a church to develop Christ-centered relationships, Lord. Lord, help us to build our lives around your foundation, Father. Help us to focus on the heart that can be changed, to focus on allowing you to lead us, to take those small steps that'll make a transformational relationship possible. Father, be honored, be glorified. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship.